This is Things I Need to Learn in Life I Didn't Learn in School, covering everything we should know as adults that got glossed over in our classrooms. With your host, Wave News anchor, Dawn G.
Things I Need to Learn in Life I Did Not Learn in School. I would bet that over half of us did not learn about money, a lot more than half of us. Joining me today, Marcus Warren of Warren Wealth Management and Tax Services. Marcus Warren, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Can I call you Marcus? Make sure?
Absolutely.
Okay. You make sure that people know what they're doing with their money, whether it is investing or taxes or whatever that looks like. Why don't we teach that in school? Maybe we do now. I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure why it's really still not being taught. You have started to see curriculums that are now introducing, you know, some sort of personal finance class. But for the most part, you know, it's still pretty absent from schools.
Are we not on? What is it?
Sorry about that.
So we need to start again?
No, you're...
Well, yeah, we do need to start again. But is something wrong?
I just was worried.
Okay.
Something different. I was making sure.
Okay. Right. Oh, my God. We'll start again.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Things I need to learn in life I didn't learn in school. I'm Dawn G. Thank you very much for joining me today. Marcus Warren from Warren Wealth Management and Tax Services is here with me. Marcus, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
okay, so I'm going to tell you already that we have had a time trying to get going with this podcast today. I don't know what it is. That means that something doesn't want you to know this knowledge. And I would say probably more than 50% of folks, I would definitely say 50% of folks don't really know how to... about finance, about how to manage their money.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of it isn't taught in schools.
Why is that, though?
You know, that's a good question. It's never, ever been, you know, kind of baked into any kind of curriculum. You know, you got your math, your science, your English, things of that nature. But they've never baked in, you know, personal finance, which is truly a life skill that everyone needs to know.
I mean, they used to teach cooking.
Yeah.
They used to teach, what was it called? Wood?
Yeah, shop class. I had shop class.
They had shop.
Yeah.
It seems to me that finances should have come before that.
Yeah, I learned in home ec, I made a pair of shorts from scratch. So I learned how to do that by the time I got out of school, but I did not know how to balance a checkbook. So there you go.
I can remember we got my son's bank account. And I was explaining to him, this is where your money will go. Mm-hmm. I suggest, you know, when you do little odd jobs, if you make money, it's okay if you want to save to spend to buy something, but I suggest you always put a little away for yourself. Now, my grandmother told me that. When she told me that, I would always say, you don't understand. I don't have enough money to put away money for myself. You should always put away money for yourself. I'm telling you now, I don't care if it's $5. That's what she said to me. But I told my son that, and we also got a checkbook, which I don't know if people still use checks.
I don't think so.
I do. I use checks.
So you're the one. You're the only one left.
I love checks. I have checks. I just ordered more checks today. But I showed him how to write a check. You have to understand this was 20 years ago.
Yep.
And he was listening to me, and he said, how come they don't tell us this in school? And I started thinking, I said, I don't know, son. I don't know why they don't tell you this in school.
You know, I don't know either. And I really think they should because, you know, I talk to people all the time in their 20s all the way up to their 70s. And it's interesting because there's basic concepts that I have just picked up and I know, and then I know from my schooling and my studies and my education and being in this space that, you know, I will, you know, say something like an IRA, you know, individual retirement account, and I'll just keep going. And the blank stares that I get sometimes as I have to explain, you know, what that retirement account is or what it's for. Or when I talk about interest and interest rates and how that relates to one when they're spending versus one when they're saving and how interest rates, you know, affect someone. You know, I look at that blank stare because, you know, I've been in this business for over 20 years now. So I'm, you know, I'm assuming that as I'm talking, sometimes people are getting it.
I've given you that blank stare before.
So I wasn't going to say anything.
I've given it to you, like, and I've said to you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, right. And so, you know, and so it there is a lack of knowledge and education in regards to financial planning, personal finance, retirement planning, you know, and, you know, I'm really trying to close that gap with just financial education courses that we offer. And then even when someone comes in, they need help with retirement planning, you know, I want to find out how much they know so I know where we're starting from. And as I'm talking about investing or stocks or equities or bonds or fixed income, whatever that may be, that they understand. And it's funny because I'll sit down with them, I'll explain exactly how a lot of things work, and we generally try to have meetings with our clients at least annually, and I always save time because I know there's always a re-education process because pretty much as soon as they walk out that door, they probably forget half of the stuff that I was saying anyway. So I always try to make it a point to re-educate because clients tend to forget, and so it's just something that has to be constantly taught really to people of all ages.
So it's scary that, again, this 50%, it's more than 50%.
Yes, it is.
Of people do not have money set aside for mm-hmm. when they retire. So my thought is always, so what do you think you're going to do? Like if you're in your 80s, what do you think you're going to do?
Yeah, it's the state of retirement is scary because, you know, we have Social Security. And it's unfortunate because most people, and when I say most people, about 70% of people today, Social Security is going to be their main source of income when they retire. And unfortunately, that generally doesn't cut it. When you retire, Social Security really was only meant to supplement about 30 to 35% of someone's income. So back in the day, when we talk about retirement, there was, you know, the three-headed monster of retirement or the three-legged stool of retirement. You had Social Security. You generally had, most people had pensions. And then you had your personal savings, right? Unfortunately,
pensions are gone.
And Social Security basically is still supposed to support about 30, 35% of your retirement. And so it's basically been rested on us as employees and workers to supplement the other 66%. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people haven't. And it's sometimes it's because of a lack of knowledge. A lot of times it's just because life, you know, you have your current bills now. You're focused on today and what's due today, the light bill, you know, education for the kids, car payment, mortgage, whatever that may be. And a lot of people don't do what they were taught, what you were taught, which was, hey, put a little something away for yourself first. Pay yourself first. That's most important.
Yeah, I didn't do it when I was told, though.
Yeah, it takes a while.
I did do it, and I think I've done okay.
Yeah.
But I now that I'm looking at retirement, I see it. I'm waving at it. Hey, retirement, I'm coming.
Yep.
I wonder what could I have saved had I started doing it when my grandmother told me to do it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, when they think about saving for retirement or they think about investing in general, they think about, okay, I'll wait until I have, you know, $5,000 or $10,000.
Just put a little baby bit away.
It's the power of compound interest and just really just the compound effect.
And most people don't understand that.
There's studies after studies where the earlier you start, the better. So if you're 25 years old, fresh out of college, you get your first job. If you put away, you know, $50 a month and you can get a good rate of return of around 7-8% for the next 40 years, and this is just about $50 a month, you are going to have hundreds, if not millions of dollars, depending on the rate of return you get by the time you retire at 65. And a lot of people don't start, just like you said. I know I didn't start right when I had my first job. You know, people generally don't start until, you know, they're in their late 40s, 50s, and then they can see.
So late.
It's way too late. I mean, it's too late. You still should, but it's just way too late, and you probably won't have enough to retire on.
And then Social Security, I did not know this. I mean, I'm not sure why I did not know this. That the longer you wait to take it, the more money you get. I did not know this. And so you should talk to somebody to find out when you should claim your Social Security. Because if you hold off until you're 70, boy, you get a lot more. But you have to think, you know, how long am I going to be around?
That's it. So, yeah, longevity, you really need to look at your family health history to see if you're going to take it at 70. Because, you know, if you have a family health history of kicking off at 75 or 73,
you might want to take it early.
So you can take Social Security as early as 62. And unfortunately, because, like I said, a lot of people haven't saved enough, about 60% of people, they take it at 62. That's the earliest you can take it. The only thing about that is that you are getting
less
70 cents on the dollar when you take it at 62.
But when you get it at 70, how much are you getting?
Well, when you get it at full retirement age, you get 100%. And a full retirement age for most is about 66, 67.
I thought it was
generally
65.
No, it used to be 65. They recently raised it to 67. But
are you kidding me?
Yeah. So most people, it's about 66 in 6 months, but now it's 67. By the time I'm eligible for Social Security,
it'll be 70.
Yes, or 75. Yeah, it'll be there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
When did this whole 67 thing come about?
I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago.
No, I don't care. I'm retiring when I'm 65. I don't care what anybody says. I'm retiring when I'm 65.
So you get 100% of that benefit at 67.
Wait a minute. What about Medicare and all that? Is that still 65?
That's 65. Ooh. That kicks in at 65, yes.
Did you all know about this whole 67 thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to call my sister when I am done with this. Okay. We need to talk to this before I let you go. This whole, you know what I'm going to say, this whole student loan thing.
Yes.
Everybody was just waiting because they knew student loans were going to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people were like, woo. I don't have to worry about that bill anymore. And because that bill had been kind of frozen since COVID and the forgiveness for a while, you know, people didn't have to worry about that $250 or $300 bill that they had to pay every month. And it was nice.
Yeah.
That bill starts again September 1st. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's when it starts, I guess, accruing interest again. The first bill will come in October.
The next month.
The next month in October. You're going to get a statement, so start looking for it, that is going to tell you this is when your bill is due. What I've been trying to tell some friends, because I have some friends who are furious that it wasn't forgiven, and they say, I don't care, I'm not paying it. You can't do that.
No, of course not. You know, most people, they need to understand this, that, you know, when you signed up for that student loan, you signed up for a financial obligation. If you do not fulfill that financial obligation, you will be in default of that student loan. And because, you know, a lot of these loans are federally backed, you know, they will, you know, come after you. They can garnish your wages. They can, if you're due a refund on your tax return, they can keep that. There's been instances, although rare, where they garnish people's Social Security checks.
Someone just wrote me and said that, I don't know.
Did they stop that?
No. Someone just wrote me and said that she had a scholarship, scholarship slash loan.
Yeah.
It was a teacher situation where she had to teach for a certain amount of time, where that loan would become a scholarship if she taught a certain amount of time.
Yes.
And then she wouldn't have to worry about paying it back. However, she got her education, decided she didn't want to be a teacher.
Of course, right.
So she didn't go into teaching. She became a chef.
Okay.
So what happened?
She has a big debt, right?
Big debt.
Right.
And so she said, now they're telling her she has to pay it back. And she said no.
That's
they put a lien on her home.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, I haven't heard of that instance. I've heard the Social Security instance, but putting a lien on the home.
So she called me and said she wanted me to go after them. I went, whoa, number one, no, no, no. And number two, you said you were going to be a teacher. It specifically says in the papers that you sent me that you said you dedicate this amount of years to the job of teaching for a scholarship that would end up becoming a loan if you negated that duty.
Right. And, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, people who are saying that they're not going to fulfill their obligation for the student debt. And it's the same situation. There are consequences to, you know, those choices. Obviously, hers was pretty bad, even though, you know, she still claims she's not going to do it. But, you know, if they put a lien on your house,
it stays with you.
It's not going anywhere. That's the thing about student loan debt, which is interesting too, you know, because the universities and the government have made it where even if you try to declare bankruptcy,
it stays with you.
It's going to stay with you. You cannot get rid of it. It's, you know, so it's.
And they can still come after you.
Always.
When you declare bankruptcy,
yep.
You start working again, they're going to come get that money.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you know, think about that.
Yeah. So it was unfortunate that, you know, the Supreme Court came down with that decision. And I know a lot of people, I think it was 42 billion, million, 42 billion, million, whatever it is, big numbers, that had already
applied
and were ready and probably were, you know, all excited about having that debt forgiven. And it's a slap in the face, but, you know, just make sure you fulfill that obligation. It's important.
So let's go over some things they should do. Number one, because you're, I'm losing the name that it should be, the person that your loan servicer could have changed. You want to make sure that they have your information, that everything is updated. So you need to go in there and make sure that you have your information.
Yeah, you need to check with, generally speaking, you should hear next month, or the month after start to get the servicing statements that says, hey, you know, you now owe an extra $250 or $300, whatever that payment is. If you do not, don't think that it's gone away. You need to go through old paperwork, whatever it may be. And I know a lot of people might not want to do this, but reach out just so you have an understanding of how much you owe, when it's due, because you want to make sure that you are making those payments.
And even if you can't pay it, reach out. Say, I'm having trouble. I can't pay it. What can we do?
Yeah, just because the payments are starting back up doesn't mean that those same solutions aren't still available. Solutions like forbearance, right? If you have a financial hardship, you can get a forbearance, or ask for a forbearance, or ask for a deferment. You know, you would have to now supply your financial records, your tax returns, income statements, things of that nature to show that you can't meet that obligation. But there are still those options that your service provider, you know, may still grant you.
And then there are where they look at how much you make, and they'll do like a sliding scale of, okay, you're right. Yep. You can't pay $300 a month, but it looks like you can pay $40. We're going to let you pay that $40.
Yeah, absolutely. They are willing to work with you, but you just have to make sure that you are proactive and you ask for the help. Those options are still available, and people need to take advantage of it, especially if they're not going to be able to pay that amount.
All right. Is there anything else when it comes to student loans?
No, just make sure you
make sure that you pay them financially. Anything coming up that people need to know in this season of the year? Anything that we should be doing?
No, but you know, as we generally come to fall, you know, school starting back up. We're about to hit September here pretty soon. People need to start, thinking and making a plan on, you know, how they're going to move into this next year. It's never too early to start, you know, planning and looking at your finances now, making sure that your budget is in line, looking at what income you have coming in this year, what income you're going to have coming in next year, and making a plan on how much you're going to save for yourself, whether it's an emergency fund or retirement. Just making those plans now, especially as the summer ends and you're headed into the fall season.
And when you say budget, describe what you mean by a budget.
Budget basically is looking at the income that's coming in and then listing all of your expenses and estimating what those expenses, you know, generally are, your light bill, your car payment, whatever that may be, gas bill, mortgage payment, and, you know, making sure that you have groceries, pretty much everything that goes out, because your budget is a function of what's coming in, what's going out, and what you have left at the end. But I think the top, the thing that should be on the top line after income, the thing that should be on the top line for as far as expenses go, it should be you, yourself. Pay yourself first. If that's the one thing that
And when you say pay yourself first, you mean take that money out for that 401k or for that whatever.
Emergency fund, whatever that is.
Emergency fund.
That, and you know, that should be rule number one. Whatever it is, if it's $50, $500, $25, whatever it is, you need to pay yourself first. Have that emergency fund, contribute to your retirement account, and then now you can hit all of those other bills. People generally do
it
the reverse.
That's the last thing. Yeah, that's right. The last thing that we do, if we do it at all.
Right. Do it first.
All right. Any other information?
No, that's it.
We appreciate you. You have classes and information. How do we find that out when you have it?
Yeah, if you go to warrenwealth.net, and you will see our upcoming events. You can book a 15-minute phone call with me so we can find out where you are, find out where you need to be, and see if we're a good fit, and we can help you get to hit whatever goal you're trying to hit, warrenwealth.net.
All right. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Again, things I need to learn in life I didn't learn in school. Unfortunately, there are many. As always, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you.